Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Question 88. Which of these is your neighbor? Luke 10:36. Now, which of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Luke 10:25-29. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What's written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus was teaching on the greatest commandment. He was challenged on a point of definition. Just who is my neighbor? Who are the people whom I must love as myself? Jesus told a story to explain the definition of the commandment's term, neighbor. Many people read this parable and draw from this a commandment to love everyone. But that message is not to be found here. It's found in other Bible stories and verses, to be sure. But it's not here. As a matter of fact, nearly the opposite is stated. We are to consider as neighbors only those who treat us well. Is not the message clear? Is not the answer to the man's question, Who is my neighbor, answered clearly to those who do well to you? This parable is not about brotherly love. It's about prejudice. Luke 10:30-36, And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? In his comments about the priest, Christ shows us that self-concerned churchmen who show no compassion toward those whom perhaps they see as less than themselves, unclean or defiled, are not included in the list of folks we are commanded to love as we love ourselves. It's equally obvious by his example of the Levite. Those who were born to greatness are not in this list as well. Jesus' message was clarion. Our goodness toward one another is the only identification we may trust. It is the badge of being the neighbor worthy of our love. Here Jesus exposes one of the deepest emotions felt by the fearful, bigotry. He states that we may not decide whether or not we will be a neighbor, doing good or loving others as ourselves, based upon social, economic, ancestral, or religious grounds. We may not decide who our neighbor is by anything they profess or claim, but by their actions of love and concern. These are our neighbors. These are the ones we are commanded to love as ourselves. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The Gospels, in other places, make it equally clear that Jesus taught us to love our enemies and to do good to those who use us and abuse us, but that message is not here. The Samaritan is a good example for us, to love those who don't love us, but we must not try to combine the two messages. Here he is explaining the definition of neighbor in the commandment. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. The prejudicial Jews would dismiss their obligation to their Samaritan brothers by defining the word neighbor narrowly as to exclude them. This prejudice was not done quietly or secretly. It was obvious and blatant. Remember the surprise of the Samaritan woman at the well? Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus was called a Samaritan as a disparaging epithet. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus knew well that the people of Judea had problems with the people of Samaria because of their mixing with their conquerors during their military occupations. They were considered unclean and unholy. Jesus dug at the heart of the matter. The one whom the hearer of the parable was compelled to identify as neighbor was also Samaritan. This parable was all about prejudice, the oldest sin of mankind. It killed Abel in the beginning, and it will be the cause of the crime in the newspaper tomorrow. It still ranks high as the sin of preference among the religious. Many who profess Christ have no qualm about using inflammatory words of prejudice, exclusionary behaviors, and practices within their churches. We've forgotten we are of one blood, as says the Scripture, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Acts 17:26. Although Peter was likely there listening, it would be years later that it would occur to him that we are to consider all men who live peaceably among us as our neighbor, regardless of their color, pedigree, or religion. Through a vision, shown three times, he finally realizes that they who God has cleansed are not to be considered as less than themselves. And he said unto them, Ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10. Here is the formula again. Not a blanket acceptance or universal brotherhood, but those who fear God and work righteousness, as the Samaritan did, are to be considered our neighbors. Thus defining for us the word neighbor in the commandment cited by Jesus. Our identification to each other as brothers and neighbors is this, that we love each other. John 13:34-35, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 15:17, These things I command you, that ye love one another. 1 John 4:11, Beloved, If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The religious leader could not defile himself. The religious aristocrat could not be bothered. But the one who really loved the poor injured man couldn't pass him by. Which of these is your neighbor?
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.